Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway. And we are facing the biggest election of our lifetime. It's just around the corner. But some of our listeners may still be asking, who should we vote for? That is the question, because many people still have some reservations about both of the presidential candidates. So we're going to take it on, aren't we, Rita?
We are.
We're going to take this on, because after all, politics is very definitely at the crossroads where faith and culture meet. And all of us need to decide which way to go, which road to take. But we want to make clear from the start that we won't be telling anyone how to vote. However, one thing we can do, and that is to make some comparisons between the two-party platforms. They're very different from each other, and we need to know because it matters. So be prepared to hear a very different approach from what you usually see or hear, either from us or from people in the media who like to focus on personalities, who's up and who's down, who has the best chance of winning. And that's too bad, because it's the platforms rather than personalities that define the heart and soul of both parties. And in this case particularly, they tell us a lot. So, the parties usually adopt new platforms every 4 years, just before a presidential election. And they do this to set a new vision and lay out a clear roadmap on a wide range of issues for where they want to go and what they hope to achieve in these next 4 years. That's why the platforms are so important. So, Rita, how are we going to do this?
So, just to be clear, these are actual written documents where anyone can go and look and see exactly how each party envisions doing what they think is in the best interest of the country. So this is going to be an interesting program, and we don't want to leave anyone in the dark about how we view and understand the platforms. So at the end of our program today, we will give each platform a numerical grade, just like they would get on a school exam. We'll grade the platforms on the positions they take in two important categories that define who they are and what they believe. The first category is about our Judeo-Christian values and our Christian heritage as a people. The second category is about our constitutional principles. And again, Dean, each platform lays out this clear roadmap on how our country should be governed. Taken together, we think these two categories, Judeo-Christian values and constitutional principles, really set the foundation on which America has grown and prospered. And for our purposes today, they can help guide our listeners in deciding how to vote their values on November 3rd. Let's get to nuts and bolts. We'll give up to 10 points for each platform in these categories. So that will give us a combined score of up to 40 points for each party. So remember, it's a score of 1 to 10 for each of the two categories and for both platforms. So Dean, let's jump into our first category, Judeo-Christian values.
Well, Rita, we've got our job set out for us here, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
But it's not really complicated, although one friend asked me just recently, Dean, what do you mean by Judeo-Christian values? So it is an important question. It simply means that we draw our values from our Judeo-Christian heritage and faith, and specifically from biblical teachings for how we should live. Therefore, these values go back to Bible times. And as we all know, they came to America through the Pilgrims and the Puritans in the early 1600s. They continued to inform us right up to our Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War, the U.S. Constitution, and even up to today. So for our purposes, we will break these Judeo-Christian values down into four major issues: life, faith, family, and freedom. Number one is life, because we all know it begins at conception, continues through natural death. Number two is faith, which expresses itself in the two great commandments that we love God with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourself. And then the third one, God's design for marriage between one man and one woman to create a family that provides the foundation of a stable society. And then number four is freedom. focusing on the First Amendment freedoms of religion, speech, the press, a peaceable assembly, and the right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. That is what these values are all about. So, Rita, against that background, let's look at the Republican platform. What does it say about the issue, first of all, of life?
I'll say that it's very clear on this issue, especially its commitment to the right to life. Here's what it says. We believe the unborn child has a fundamental right to life. Therefore, we support a human life constitutional amendment and laws which say that the 14th Amendment protections also apply to preborn children. We support the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, a human life constitutional amendment, a ban on abortion at 20 weeks when unborn babies can feel pain, and a ban on dismemberment abortion, which is a particularly gruesome abortion. It also says we oppose the use of federal funds to perform or promote abortion or for organizations like Planned Parenthood, and we will not fund or subsidize health care that includes abortion coverage. In addition, we support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of innocent human life. Finally, we oppose embryonic stem cell research and federal funding for it. So, Dean, the Republicans are very clear about the sanctity of life. How about the Democrats? What does their platform say?
Well, Rita, I just have to say that's an impressive platform that you have just outlined. And I can say right now that they deserve an A-plus on this issue of life. So there's no question either, though, that the Democratic platform sees it very differently. It is equally clear that instead of life being an inalienable right, it is a matter of choice. And as a consequence, the unborn baby has no right to life. It can be aborted at any time if the mother wishes. And now I'm going to quote from the platform. The platform says that every woman should have access to safe and legal abortion. It will seek to overturn all laws that impede a woman's access to abortion. It will oppose all efforts to defund Planned Parenthood. It also states on the issue of the courts, it will appoint judges who will protect a woman's right to safe and legal abortion. Finally, it believes that safe abortion must be included as part of America's global health programming. That means we even force other governments to approve of abortion, and it would repeal any laws to bar American assistance from providing safe, legal abortion throughout the developing world. Now, there's one more thing I'll just summarize. There's an irony to their platform. They say that they want to protect children to thrive, but they don't recognize the life of the unborn child. They say that they want to protect nature in all of its life forms that have a right to exist. Therefore, they are not recognizing the unborn child as a life form. So, Rita, we have a huge difference between the two platforms. And I have to say, there's no doubt that from what we have said here, the Democrats will get a zero or even a negative grade on the matter of life. We'll have to see how that works. So, yes, we have a big difference, but let's go on to the next issue of faith. What does the Republican platform say about that?
Well, Dean, I'll say just generally, overall, reading it as a whole, the Republican platform makes very clear that our faith is very important, as it, we know it was to the founders, and in guiding us on how we should live. And just one example of that that I'll give is, it says, a good understanding of the Bible being indispensable for the development of an educated citizenry, we encourage state legislatures to offer the Bible in a literature curriculum as an elective in America's high schools. So this just really echoes the importance that our early settlers and founding fathers placed on having the Bible be taught to developing citizens and to children. It just recognizes the overall importance of faith in a person's development. So that's really important. Dean, how about the Democratic platform? What does it say about the issue of faith?
Well, Rita, going back to what you've just said, I will have to say you're on a roll with the Republican platform, and they're going to get another good grade on this. Maybe. Who knows? We'll have to see. So The Democratic platform, unfortunately, is virtually silent on the role of God in our lives and in our government. In fact, it only mentions God one time, in contrast to the Republican platform, which refers to God 15 times. It's a reminder, frankly, of past Democratic attempts to remove God altogether from their party platform in 2012, and more recent efforts to remove So Help Me God from the oath that is required before giving legal testimony. So that, in a nutshell, is where the Democratic platform is on this whole issue of faith. They seem to have none, and that will be reflected, unfortunately, in their final grade. They better sit up and start paying attention. Okay, so let's move on to the third important Judeo-Christian value regarding marriage and the family. What does the Republican say about this?
Well, this too is really just such an important foundational issue, and the Republican platform addresses it head on multiple times. So here's what it says, a few excerpts. The cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Children raised in two-parent households tend to be healthier, more likely to do well in school, less likely to use drugs and alcohol, engage in crime, or become pregnant outside of marriage. Every child deserves a married mom and dad. Then later it says, we do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in U.S. versus Windsor and its lawless ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress and the will of the people to define marriage policy. Later it says, we support the appointment of judges who respect the constitutional limits on their power. So once again, the Republican platform is emphatically clear in its support for God's design for marriage and the family. Dean, how about the Democratic platform? What does it say on this issue?
Well, I should think by this time we can expect how this appears, because the Democrats once more take a very different approach. Their platform makes no mention of the importance of natural marriages that provide every child with a loving father and mother. And therefore, by its silence, it appears to reinforce the perception that it does support same-sex marriage, even more importantly than God's more exclusive design for one man, one woman marriage and the families that they build together. Indeed, the platform devotes an entire section to LGBT rights, including sexual orientation as a protected category, along with race and religion. And it makes clear that it supports same-sex marriage when it says, quote, we applaud the decision by the Supreme Court to recognize that LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. So again, Rita, they are going to get a very different grade again than what the Republicans have set out for themselves. It's just one more example of how different these two platforms are. But we have one more issue to go on this category of Judeo-Christian values, and that's freedom. What does the Republican say about freedom?
Well, Dean, just like these other Judeo-Christian values that we've been talking about, this issue of freedom is so important to all of our other values and affects our very survival as a nation. Therefore, the Republican platform makes it very clear that, and I quote here, we support independent institutions that stand between the citizen and the government and create spaces where the power of government should not intrude. Regrettably, however, the loss of faith and family over the last 5 decades has led to a greater dependence on government. And it goes on, to protect religious liberty, we will ensure that faith-based institutions do not face discrimination by government. We urge repeal of the Johnson Amendment, and that's the 1954 amendment that places limits on a pastor's freedom to make what are considered to be political sermons. It goes on, Dean. It says, we endorse the First Amendment Defense Act that bars government discrimination against faith-based groups. It supports displays of the Ten Commandments and voluntary prayer in schools. It encourages states to resist any federal guidelines that would allow men into women's restrooms. And the Constitution, it says, gives the federal government no role in education. So the platform opposes national educational standards and Common Core. In its place, the platform supports choice-based, parent-driven, local control of our schools. That's a lot, Dean. Wow. Tell us about the Democratic platform on this issue of freedom.
Well, Rita, unfortunately, and again, you won't be surprised because once again, the Democrats say very little about this issue of freedom. And I've already mentioned its commitment to protect the rights of indigenous tribal nations to practice their religion, but it says virtually nothing about protecting Christian organizations from discrimination and suppression. There's another example. They say that we believe in supporting the good work of people of faith and religious organizations wherever possible. That gives me a problem. What does that mean? It tells me that they're going to decide when they can support the work of people of faith and when they choose not to, when it goes against their own agendas. That is an ominous caveat. And also, they talk about protecting religious minorities overseas, but again, say nothing about protecting religious minorities and fundamental rights of freedom here in the United States. So, we've covered a lot of ground now, Rita, finishing this first category of how the two platforms treat our Judeo-Christian values. So before we move on, let's wrap it up by giving each platform a numerical grade in this category. And again, to remind any of our listeners who want to score this with us, we are using a scale up to 10 points for each party, with 10 being the highest. So Rita, let's start with you. What do you have in this first category about our Judeo-Christian values?
Well, my score for the Republican platform this year is a 10. It's pretty self-explanatory based on what we've already discussed. And Dean, for the Democrats, I'm going to be charitable and give the Democratic platform a score of 3. And to explain that, I do think that in their platform, they try to manifest a care about people and a love for neighbors. I think they're misguided in the way they seek to do that and totally inconsistent. But I'm giving the Democratic platform a 3. Dean, how about you?
And I think you did say that's a generous score.
Yes.
You are very generous.
Yeah.
Because here's very simple for me. If a platform or a candidate or a party doesn't recognize these values of life, faith, family and freedom, marriage, I just can't support them and they won't give my vote. So just to summarize, on this vote, I can't be as generous as you. I give the Republicans a full 10 score in this category, but I have to give the Democrats a minus 10. Now, that's a little worse than a 0. But I say it's a minus because they're not only intolerant of the Judeo-Christian view on these issues, they're actually hostile to them. And they try to defeat them, it seems, at every turn. So here we have a 10 for the Republicans, a minus 10 for the Democrats. I'm interested in seeing how our listeners are scoring this. But Rita, that finishes our category of Judeo-Christian values. Let's move on to the second category, constitutional principles. First of all, I think we need an explanation. What do we mean by this and why is it so important?
Well, Dean, we've talked about the Declaration of Independence, and we really can look to it as the heart and soul of our new nation, with 4 references to God that are very clear. The Constitution, on the other hand, is more like the rest of the body that carries the new heart and soul, or we could also see it as the frame of a car that carries the engine. So in effect, the Constitution was designed to carry out the Judeo-Christian values that we've just talked about. And it does that by creating a system that recognizes the depravity of man and then sets up guardrails that are intended to protect us from overly ambitious leaders and from abuses of power by one group over another. That's why the Constitution divides our government into three separate but equal branches, each of which is designed to check the power of the other two branches. And that is why it's so important. And of course, too, we know that government power is divided between the federal government and the states. So this is absolutely essential.
Okay, Rita. Well, then let's jump right into it. We'll take a close look at some of the core principles that are embodied in the Constitution, and then how each party platform measures up to those principles. The principles of limiting the power of the federal government, of securing the fundamental rights of the individual, and of promoting individual liberty and free enterprise. So let's start with the Democratic platform this time, Rita, and see what it does to this first principle, limiting the power of the federal government.
Well, Dean, the Democratic platform, unfortunately, promotes a pattern of what we can best describe as federal government overreach. And one of the best examples of that is just the amount of spending that it would absolutely require in order to accomplish its goals. Another example is the platform's strong support of the so-called Equality Act, which sounds really nice, but what it would actually do would be to gut religious liberty, codify abortion at the federal level, which certainly the federal government has no business in. It would require insurance coverage for gender transitions. It would ban counseling programs that would assist people who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions and gender dysphoria and want help for it. So these are some examples of the types of government overreach that it would promote. Dean, what does the Republican platform say about limiting the power of government?
Well, frankly, Rita, it has, as you might expect, a long list. They respect state sovereignty over federal power and abuse, just in accordance with the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. And they would condemn federal assaults on our liberties, including states' voter ID laws and a number of other instances where the states really have jurisdiction and authority. On the question of rule of law, it says that we affirm God-given rights, limited government, separation of powers that you described, and it also says that we reject unfair preferences and quotas over regulation, and we reject an activist judiciary. On regulation, it says that we condemn past governments' actions to overregulate all sectors, including a war on coal, climate change policies, universal health care the same way. And on the courts, it says that we support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of life, and who are ready to reverse the long list of activist decisions, including Roe v. Wade and Obergefell v. Hodges on marriage. That is huge, and that explains why there was such a battle over court appointments. So it continues to say that we urge reversal of Supreme Court redefinition of marriage against the wishes of the majority of the American people and the laws of many states. So, Rita, that is just a strong statement on limiting the power of the federal government, reserving it to the states and to the people. So take us to the next principle, securing the fundamental rights of the individual. What does the Democratic platform say about that?
Well, Dean, there's one section that is particularly troubling to me, and that condemns a regulation that allows doctors, hospitals, and insurance companies to practice medicine and operate in accordance with their conscience. So, for example, the Democratic platform would support the HHS contraception mandate against faith-based groups like Little Sisters of the Poor. It would require them to act against their consciences. It would also prohibit counselors, like we've already said, from assisting patients who want to be free of same-sex attractions or gender dysphoria.
Well, Rita, again, that's very different from what we're going to get from the Republican platform. For example, it states that healthcare professionals should not be forced to choose between following their conscience and practicing their profession. It says that we should respect the rights of conscience of these workers. On another subject, it says that we uphold the Second Amendment right of individuals to keep and bear arms, which is very important to many people. And it does, as we suggested before, urge the repeal of the Johnson an amendment that puts limits on pastors in the pulpit. So, Rita, we're almost done, and time is flying. But that takes us now to the third and last issue, which is about promoting individual liberty and free enterprise. What does the Democratic platform say about that?
Well, several things. For one, it says it will fight to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour and repeal right-to-work laws. It would launch a clean energy revolution, work to end poverty and homelessness, reverse the Trump administration's tax cuts, and continue to fight for universal health care. And while all of those things sound wonderful, we have to see that this is a full load of big government at the expense of individual liberty and free enterprise. One last shot, Dean. What does the Republican platform say about liberty and free enterprise?
Well, again, as you can expect, it's very different because it will work to free financial markets from oppressive government control. It will promote right-to-work laws and to reduce the national debt, and it condemns actions that would overregulate all sectors, coal, energy, pipelines, and, of course, climate change policies. So that's it, Rita. That ends our review of the party platform's adherence to these constitutional principles. So now it is time to give them both a grade, just as we did earlier on Judeo-Christian values, and then put them all together for a final grade. So, Rita, drawing on your background as a constitutional attorney, I want to hear your summary of the constitutional principles as they are addressed by each platform, and then the score you give to each platform, again, on a scale of up to 10.
Well, this is a tough one for me for the Republican platform because, Dean, I think the platform is on the right track. It's headed in the right direction, but I just can't give them a perfect score because so much damage has already been done by past Supreme Court decisions and existing laws to the original structure of limited government set out in the Constitution. So, with that summary, I'm going to give the Republican platform a 7 on constitutional principles. The Democratic platform is headed in the wrong direction on this topic, in my opinion, and I give it a 1.
Actually, my grade is pretty similar because when it comes right down to it, we do see a very different approach. I'm concerned that the Democrats seem to be less attentive to constitutional limits, and thus more inclined toward big government overreach of their authority. And that's particularly true, for example, of their support for judicial activism. On the other hand, Republicans seem to be much more conscious of those limits and therefore more inclined to smaller government. Now, that includes support for constitutional originalist judges, which is why I am giving them a much higher grade. I'm giving an 8 to the Republican platform, and like you, a 1 for the Democrats, for good intent maybe, but for a wrong direction. So Rita, now it's time to add the 2 grades together in the Judeo-Christian values and the constitutional principles. That gives us a possible score, combining your score and my score, a possible 40 points for each platform. Now for the drum roll. This is the final score for the Republicans. We give them a score of 35 on their platform. For the Democrats, a negative 5 points for their combined score.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, and I will just say that it doesn't give either of us any pleasure, for sure, to see either of the platforms scoring so low on either of these categories, but that's what we're looking at. So I would say to our listeners with only 1 week left, please vote early if possible, but if not, just be sure you are ready to vote your values on November 3rd. And finally, please join us again next week as we review each of the presidential candidates and talk about some considerations for you to make as you consider how to vote on November 3rd. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website at valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. I'd like to thank several of our great sponsors, Blue Ridge Chimney Services, Blessings Christian Bookstore, and New Beginnings Church, and also Garber's Church of the Brethren in Harrisonburg. We are deeply grateful for your prayers, your encouragement, and your generous financial support. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22803. This is Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and our amazing engineer, Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.